one of the verses the Lord pointed out to me, which I wrote in the front of my Bible. I still have that Bible with me, with these verses written on it, in the front white page of the Bible before the printed portion. I drew a little heart and wrote Jesus Christ and Zach Poonen. And underneath I wrote Psalm 73, verse 25. And that has been the guideline for my life all these years. To me, that is the proof that I am a worshiper. Not just one who serves the Lord, but who worships the Lord. Psalm 73, 25 says, it's amazing, it's an Old Testament verse. Lord, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing and no one on earth. If I can live there every single day of my life, I am at the tree of life. I'm partaking of the tree of life. If I can look up to Jesus and say, Lord, there is no one on earth I desire beside you. I don't care if I don't have fellowship with my fellow believers. I'd love to have it. But if a situation arises where I can't, I'm in some lonely place where there are no Christians. It won't disturb me one bit. Because I have you. I don't desire anyone on earth but you. And I don't deserve anything on earth. You know, there are people who say, no matter how good a house they have, they still want something better. Anybody here like that? God's given almost all of you a house which is 10,000 times better than many houses in India. But you're still not satisfied. Covetousness. I want more. I want more. Disobedience to the 10th commandment. You shall not covet. And they think they are disciples of Jesus. Not in a million years. I desire nothing on earth but you. Lord, I have you. That's how these early Christians were. You know what their home was? My wife and I had an opportunity when we went to Rome to go to the catacombs underground. You go many, many steps all the way down to these caves where narrow paths where the Christians, persecuted Christians, lived. And they had little things dug in the side of the rock where they would bury their dead and close it up. Boy, I saw there, these are my brothers and sisters. We went to the Colosseum where we saw the place where the lions would come out of the cage to kill my brothers and sisters in the first century, second century. And I was really moved. I said, Lord, this is the Christianity they had. They couldn't explain the new covenant like I can. Many of them didn't have a Bible. Lord, but they loved you. When the lions came springing at them, they would sing praises to you and get eaten up by the lions. I said, Lord, I want that type of devotion to you. I don't want to just be a Bible scholar and be able to explain things to others. I want to love you fervently. I don't care if I don't have anything else. And I'll tell you, that's the thing that'll matter in the day when we stand before the Lord. And I want to say to you, to prepare you for that day, we hope it'll come soon when Christ will come back. And you'll discover the truth of what I'm saying now. I hope you discover it now instead of discovering it in that day. I always tell people, one of the purposes of the Lord bringing you to our church is so that you don't get any surprises in the day of judgment. You don't get, you know, like I've heard of people who go and sit in an examination in a school and say, oh, wow, I didn't know this was the subject. I mean, I studied for chemistry and here it is history today. Can you imagine that type of surprise people getting in the day of judgment? Oh, Lord, you're not checking up on my knowledge of the doctrines and how many times I went to church? You're checking up on how much we love you? I missed out. The subject that's coming up in the final exam, I didn't prepare for. I desire nothing and no one on earth but you. My dear brothers and sisters, if that's the only way you can remember it, write it in the front of your Bible. I would see it every time I opened the Bible. I desire nothing and no one on earth. And I also wrote there, Lord, I desire nothing for myself. everything for you from this day onwards. That's what happened to me when I got baptized. And the other thing is, whom have I in heaven but you? Lord, I'm not looking forward to go to heaven to get a mansion. You know, the song which says, there's a mansion waiting for me up in heaven. I don't sing those songs. I don't want a mansion. What will I do with a 14-bedroom mansion in heaven? You can have it. What about these crowns? You see, you get a crown in heaven. What am I going to do with all these crowns on my head? I say, I want to be close to Jesus. That's all. That's all. Is that what you desire? Yeah. Whom have I in heaven but you? I'm not saying, oh, when I go to heaven, I won't be sick anymore. I have all these aches and pains here, but praise God, when I go to heaven, I won't have any aches and pains. I'll tell you this, I'm willing to have aches and pains and headaches and stomach aches for eternity if I can be with Jesus. I even told the Lord this, Lord, I'm willing to be in hell if you're there. I don't mind the fires. Can you honestly say that to the Lord? Is your love for Jesus fervent like that? Or is it just superficial, like we sing in the songs? I heard a story of a man who wrote to his girlfriend, I will cross mountains and rivers and everything to come and see you. I'll see you tomorrow if it doesn't rain. It's like that. You know, fervent words in the Sunday morning service about how much we love the Lord, and then some little practical problem comes and we stand on our rights and fight with our wives and stand on our rights and fight with others and do that little cheating to make a little money. Where is it? Can you really say you don't desire anything but the Lord? Can you really say even in heaven you don't desire anything but Jesus? I hope you will take this seriously, my brothers and sisters. All that you do for the Lord will count for nothing if you don't love Him. Now let me show that to you from another passage of Scripture. In Matthew and chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. A very well known passage. Verse 22 and 23. This is speaking about the final day, the final examination. Make sure you've studied for the subject that is coming in the final examination and not a subject that is not coming. Here are the subjects that are not coming in the final examination. Healing the sick, preaching many sermons, casting out demons. Those subjects are not coming in the final examination. Why are you studying for that? But those people thought it is coming. Lord, we got 100% in casting out demons and 100% in prophecy and 100% in performing miracles. And the Lord says, go to hell. Depart from me. You who practice lawlessness. They did miracles and they missed out on the most important thing. They didn't study for the subject that is coming in the final exam. What is it? I never knew you. That was their cry. Adam knew his wife and they had a son. You read that in the Old Testament. The word know is a picture of the most intimate relationship between a man and a wife when they become one flesh. It's called knowing the other person. And when the Lord says, I never knew you, He's talking about that type of spiritual oneness with Him. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, it is compared to the sexual relationship. In 1 Corinthians 6, we read, 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, where they two shall become one flesh, which is originally referring to the husband-wife relationship. Here, it's referring to a man and a prostitute, woman who's not his wife. That is also one flesh. Don't you know, 1 Corinthians 6:16, that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, is one body with her. The two shall become one flesh. You say, hey, Paul, that's referring to husband and wife. Well, it's the same thing. You go with some other woman, you're married to her. You become one flesh with her. You have become one flesh with her. But See the comparison. He who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit. He uses the same example. That is knowing in a human way, and this is knowing the Lord in a spiritual way, to be one spirit with the Lord. So it's talking about the most intimate relationship that a man has with a woman, which he cannot have with his father or mother or children or anybody. It's only with his wife. And this is speaking about the most intimate relationship that a man can have with Jesus Christ, which he cannot have with any other brother. That means his relationship with Jesus Christ is superior to anything that he has with any brother on earth or sister on earth. In other words, I love Jesus more than I love all the people in the church, more than my wife, more than everybody else. In fact, Jesus said that is the condition of discipleship. He said, if you love your father or mother more than me, you can't be my disciple. If you even love your wife and children more than me, you can't be my disciple. Love, that is the main thing.